This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ride with a king on July 4th, on the exact date of July 4th. Probably not many, the way that the holiday falls. It is a holiday, and the country is a mess. Other than that, everything's great. It's not funny, and I shouldn't laugh. But I think this is July 4th, the day of independence, and all that gets discussed anymore in our country are the problems, and that exists in sports too. But there's quite a few things to talk about this morning, and I guess that would certainly, we're not going to talk about the problems that exist in the country. We know the problems. We know the problems with social injustice. We know the Redskins are in a fight now to keep their name, and money talks. I don't know that I really want to get into, and the Indians are thinking about changing their name, but that I want to get into all that. However, one of the big problems, obviously, is that the coronavirus just keeps on spreading and spreading and spreading because people don't seem like they care. I saw a picture online of the people at the Jersey Shore. And it's nice that people can relax and have fun and do things. I saw the picture. The beach is packed. Do people socially distance? Nope. Are at least half the people not wearing their mask? Nope. People have got to take this thing seriously. But, all right. So, that's my kind of editorial comments. Lots of things to talk about today. And one of the things, sports coming back, obviously, is one of them. Baseball's coming back. Baseball put out the number of players that have tested positive before they even start, that have tested positive for the coronavirus is 38. But they point out in the Major League Baseball release that's only 1.2% of the tests given. Now, I don't know how many of the tests that were doubled up on people. So that can sway the percentage. But 38 people is 38 people. Remember, they shut down sports when one player, Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz, tested positive. They shut down sports. That was college. That was pro. That was everything. Now it's 38 players just in baseball. That's okay. And yeah, we'll go on to the next one, which I find kind of disingenuous about professional sports, and college will be next. They already have tons of football players that have tested positive. The Major League Soccer's in that bubble in Orlando, and they've had players test positive. Basketball has had players test positive. I don't know if it's worth it And that's one of my questions. Is it worth it to have basketball and baseball come back? We don't know what it's going to be like with football yet. They don't report until July 28th. So we still have a few weeks to see where they stand. But the baseball and basketball seasons were already screwed up. Is it worth it for them to come back? And I know we want sports, and that's such a big thing. I do know we want sports. I do know we need a diversion. I do know we need all those things. Baseball, the quality will not be nearly as good. Basketball, the quality won't be as good. And no fans is a necessity, although teams have tried it. Are going to try. Some teams say they're going to try to do it. I think that's a mistake. I think you can't take it for granted. Baseball, the owners, obviously, and Major League Baseball. Well, Major League Baseball probably doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the owners themselves. Frauds. They say, well, the reason we had to do this with the players, and I was not happy with the players either, just caring about their money. And it seemed like, and it didn't seem, it was obvious they just cared about their money. If they really enjoyed the game, they would have played for less. It shouldn't be about the money, but it is, and we know that. But to have fans, I think, would be a mistake. It would be better from the excitement standpoint, but it's a mistake. Those people, whether you socially distance the seats or not, it wouldn't work. The governor of New York, Cuomo, said no fans in the state of New York. The Yankees were talking about having 20 to 30% of the fans, and they would socially distance the way they sold the seats. Like, people are going to pay attention to that with all those seats that were going to be open. But the governor of New York said no. I give him credit for that. But do we really, in the times, we've missed it so much, and we've talked about a lot of things on WIP. ESPN, most times, the reports were, well, they're coming back, the negotiations, all the things that we went through. But now that we've gone through most of this, I'm not saying to not have sports at all, ever. Obviously, we want sports. We need sports. It's a great diversion. It's a source of entertainment. It's a source of aggravation, depending on what happens with the team that you root for. And obviously, in this area, most of the Philadelphia teams, except for some losers that might find some teams from outside the city, who aren't even from that city. But do we really need, you know, the way things are going, do we really need sports right now? Do we need, not sports per se, do we really need the basketball and baseball seasons? Because those seasons were bastardized. So do we really need those? I mean, let's just focus on those. The other thing that I wanted to touch on today is the best, and it came up with the trade of Steve Carlton when the Phillies got Steve Carlton, and I gave one of them, so that's kind of out of the mix. So I'll take that out of the mix, only because I mentioned it. But that's when it came to mind. What a great trade, Rick Wise for Steve Carlton. And I remember when it happened. Most of the people in Philadelphia didn't want it. We're angry about it. Rick Wise had just pitched a no-hitter and hit two home runs in a game. He was traded right after that season for Steve Carlton. What a great trade that was. I don't know if that's the best, but let's go through that today. And by the end of the show, I'm going to pick three or four people out with the best trades. And if there's a national trade that just knocks your socks off, I'll deal with that too. The best trades in any sport in Philadelphia sports, I'll say history. You know, when you say history, when you go before 1970, it can't be. The trades can't be that good. But because it would be hard to grade them based on, you know, the information that we had now. But the best trades in Philadelphia sports, and if there's a national trade, and if you want to talk about the situation in sports, baseball. Bryce Harper had spoken yesterday, made some comments about how the players can be safe. where baseball is right now after all the things going on. And Bryce Harper made those statements and yesterday about where it is, but he didn't. He actually didn't help when that Blake Snell or whatever that way you pronounce his name, and the way Blake Snell came out and started whining and complaining about coming back. What was it, Kyle, if you have it there?
Bro, I'm risking my life.
When he said that at that time, he didn't care about that. And I don't know how many players care about their life right now, but they do care about getting sick. And one of those players is Mike Trout. Clearly, without any question, he is the best player in baseball right now. And depending on future years and history, he will probably be considered one of the best players ever in the game of baseball. And there's a lot of great players. I'm not saying he's going to be the best. I don't know if Babe Ruth's the best. I don't know if Willie Mays was the best. I don't know if Hank Aaron was the best, but they're all right up there. But Mike Trout, right now, in the game, is the best player in baseball. Not even close. He's the best player in baseball. And he said, I'm not sure whether I really want to come and play this year. He's going to have to make a decision. Because his wife, I believe her name is Jessica, they're about to share the birth of their first child. And does he want to come home? And I assume she's out with him, and obviously she's out with him in California. I mean, he's got family here. And the way he spoke, she's out in California. The family could have traveled out there to make sure that she's everything's okay. But he makes a great point. Do you really want to risk bringing back an infection with a pregnant wife, and then when the child's born with a child? Zach Wheeler's in that situation. Joe Girardi talked about it yesterday, said he's spoken to Zach Wheeler, the Phillies pitcher. And he's there. So Joe Girardi didn't say that he expressed any thoughts on not being there, other than when the baby, when his wife will give birth, which is at the end of this month. She's due the end of this month. But if you have a wife that's pregnant, would you really want to be around people? And they're not, the players, when they're working out, and I understand it's hard to wear a mask when you're working out. Some players are, very few players. Some players from other teams are, but I would say less than 50% of the players, when they work out, and it's very difficult to socially distance. It's easier when you're practicing, and the Phillies split their team up and they're putting players over at FDR Park, pretty much the minor leaguers, which, I mean, it may be a nice field, but it is kind of a joke the way you do it. And then they have to bring the players in shifts. So you really can't work out together. You can't have all the players work out together. I mean, they're following precautions, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing. But with all that, when you consider that they stopped sports when one player tested positive, they stopped all sports, then now that it seems like they can't, obviously you don't want players to get sick, and you don't want them to catch the virus. But do they really care if they know players, and they talk about, oh yeah, we know players are going to, you know, come down and test positive for the coronavirus. Oh, okay. But the quality of the game. But Mike Trout's thinking about it. I don't know what he's going to do. He may not know what he was going to do. But Bryce Harper was asked about that yesterday when he spoke to the media, and I will I'll play that for you. Almost on this date, I wouldn't call it a stark. It was on July 2nd. There was a monumental situation, I'll call it. It really was hilarious and monumental and different and all that. It was on July 2nd, not July 4th. But happy July 4th. I don't know if people are traveling this morning, if wherever they were going to go, they're already down. I tell you, I would not want to travel on a Friday before a holiday weekend. The Atlantic City Expressway was probably packed. I think there was an accident during the day on Route 42 going down there. But I'm sure people will be on the boardwalk just side by side, no masks, which is really a mistake. We've got to grab a hold of this thing. But I got, oh, did I tell you what I was going to give away? Phillies spring training hats. It's actually a cool looking hat. Phillies spring training hats. Their store, the New Era store, is opening on Monday. Hours during the week, Monday through Friday, are 10 to 6. So I got some hats to give away. I wanted to give away some Phillies masks, but they're not in yet. But I'll give them away down the line. But I've got spring training hats for what I determine. I'll let Kyle jump in on this too. The best trade, but Kyle's, I guess, a stinking millennial. I don't know if he's, he might even be a Gen X. All those people are foolish anyway. They screwed up the go to Broad Street, so I don't know how they can deal with this, but we'll let him have a say in this. The best trades in Philadelphia sports, and the best trade nationally, and if it's really a good one, if it's really a good one, I'll include that in the mix, but I'll give away, again, it is a cool-looking hat, a Philly spring training hat. I guess this is still called spring training. Now they call it spring training 2.0. It's I'll call it training camp 2.0 because it's certainly not the spring, especially with the temperature in the 90s. And you can still, and some interesting ways to look at betting. I've got some prop bets from the Borgata that you can, even though they're one of the few casinos that did not open because there's no in dining, you can't be in a restaurant. No in-dining in the in Atlantic City and in Philadelphia right now. But you still can wager on the phone. You can go to their website, BorgataSports1word.com. And you can, if you don't have the app, which I'm sure many people do, prop bets are pretty cool. I'm going to have Mark Lawrence talk about how to bet these games, and I know people will, basketball and baseball, how to bet them, what to do with the prop bets. I'll give you these really, I already know what I would do with the Borgata prop bets. So we'll talk about that. Let me give you the number, 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. That's the number to get in. The best trades in Philadelphia sports history, the best. And I'm sure if we can, I think we can come up with three or four, but I got three or four hats to give away if you can come up with the best that I determine by the end of the show. Hopefully you're enjoying your weekend and the start to your weekend, but you're being safe in doing that. That is really important. We'll hear from the comments that Bryce Harper made about the state of baseball right now, about his thoughts on Mike Trout's thoughts on possibly not playing this season. 215-592-9494. And the best trades we'll give you today. I've given away, I'm going to give away WIP t-shirts down the line, but the hat's kind of a cool thing right now, too. Sports Radio WIP, I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 8:19. 94 WIP, I'm Howard Eskin on this July 4th Saturday. And one of the reasons that matter of fact, I know we have sports. One of the reasons I know we have sports is because people need a diversion. And that diversion is not just watching the games. It's betting on things. The gambling aspect of this is so big. I mean, football's ratings are this way because of that. And the same thing, with all sports, although football is the king when it comes to gambling. But people are going to want to bet these basketball games and these baseball games, and to talk about that. And it's a different dynamic. I wanted to get Mark Lawrence on, and Mark's joined us this morning to kind of talk about how the hell you would bet these games, and then some of the props that I know that Borgata on their phone app has put up. Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm doing okay, Howard. Happy 4th of July to you, although it doesn't quite seem like 4th of July, but nonetheless, hope you have a great day.
You know what, Mark, as an aside, you live in the Fort Lauderdale area.
And yes, we do.
Miami is a hot spot. I don't know if Fort Lauderdale is as bad as Miami, but what are people doing down there? And just as an aside, what are people doing down there to try to overcome the unbelievable spike in the coronavirus?
Not a lot. That's the problem, Howard. And there's so many people that are ignoring social distancing, and you got restaurants and bars that are 50% open. You can't be half open when there's a pandemic going on. It's like being just a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't. And because of the situation being what it is, everybody's ignoring the rules. And I know they're all jonesing to get out and socialize, but right now, we're at a worse time right now as far as the pandemic goes than it was when it peaked earlier. So, right now, I'm hoping everybody comes to their senses here and stays home and does the things they're supposed to do. But we don't have a lot of leadership down here, and because we don't. Everything is a free rein down here right now. It's a little bit of a difficult situation.
He's just following the lead of some guy that's in the White House. I don't even know who that is.
I guess so, yes.
Yeah, right. All right, let's get to the gambling part of it. Mark, home court, home field is usually a little bit of a factor, although in baseball it's probably the pitching more than anything else that are the factors. But in basketball, home court, for instance, the Sixers had a great record at home. On the road they sucked. I don't think they're as good a team as they have been in the past, but that's just another story. So how do you look, just the overall, let's start with the basketball. How do you look at the basketball knowing that there is no home court and people are going to bet these games and they're going to come up with numbers for these games? I mean, how do you find a bad number, really, is what it comes down to?
Well, I think it's going to be a more case of information right now, Howard, because of what's going on with the testing and the players that will or will not play, the players that have or have not practiced. And a lot of that information is going to leak out in that sense. So you'll find out which teams are close to being 100%, which teams are really, really struggling from a player personnel standpoint. That's one aspect of it. The other is, as you mentioned, not having a home court, which Philadelphia, I had the best, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they had the best record in the NBA this year.
I think they may have. They may have had one of the worst on the road, but one of the best.
They may have.
Yeah,
right, but
best at home.
Like 26-2 or something at home. But that all goes out the window here because they're playing all these games in a bubble. So you have to evaluate which players want to be here, which players want to play. Now you've got factions that are also looking to hold out because of the protests that happened and the social aspects of the game. So it's a complete mess. I think it's beyond spring training, handicapping and betting spring training games, because the NBA doesn't even know themselves whether or not these games are going to actually take place. They're doing everything to get it. Preparation, but how do you bet these games when you don't know what's going on? I think it's next to impossible.
Okay, so when you first of all, and these first eight games are a complete farce. The only team that I think has, probably the only team is New Orleans, and I think it's really difficult for them to make the NBA wants them to make the playoffs because of that, because Zion Williamson. I guess he doesn't have enough money because he didn't get enough in college, which we find out. What a joke. Mike Krzyzewski's supposed to be pure as driven snow, and he's a fraud too because he knows exactly what was going on. But the reality is they have an incentive. They're 3.5 games behind, with 8 games behind Memphis. So outside of them, can you find a team that really has an incentive to play in these 8 games, which I think are really just to satisfy a television contractor for nothing else? It's a bunch of nonsense to say they're for anything else. But they want Zion Williamson to get in, and they just want the 8 games to fulfill, to get the 70 games for their TV contract. So with that, how do you know other than them that they want to play?
That's the key, Howard. I think the 8 games are a mistake on the NBA's part. They should have just cut to the chase and got right to the playoffs with the teams that qualified. Now you're going to ask 8 teams that are being almost forced to come to Orlando to have to play games that they really don't want to play. You've got situations that are impossible for the Denver Nuggets to win a number one seed and oust the Lakers. They'd have to go 8-0 in these games, and the Lakers have to go 0-8. That's not going to happen, and there's not going to be any incentive for Denver to play these games. There's not going to be a lot of incentive for a lot of teams to play these 8 games. I will say this. This is kind of interesting, that if you take a look at the teams that did make it to Orlando, you have teams that were like the Milwaukee Bucks. Against those teams, those 8 teams that are on the playoff bubble right now, Milwaukee went 22-0 against those teams this year. You have Oklahoma City went 15-0. The Lakers went 12-0. Boston was 19-1. So you've got teams that dominated these types of opponents, you know, these C-level teams, if you will. And I would look for Milwaukee to maybe certify itself as the team to beat. And I think the Bucks will end up probably winning every game they play of these 8 games. I wouldn't be surprised. I look for a big effort by Oklahoma City here the same way because of their dominance over these types of teams.
Is there a number for the first game for Milwaukee? Usually they put out an early number. They've done it, I think, in baseball, but have they done it in basketball yet?
No, they haven't, because you know a lot of it's because of you don't know who's playing and who's not going to play. And I don't think they want to get caught with their pants down.
And as an aside, and I'm going to mention it. Don't let me forget this mention. Somebody did a hocus pocus on the betting of the Korean baseball, which is mind-boggling that people were betting that. But they could pass post a bet. Somebody, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm going to talk about that in a second. I can't believe they're betting it anyway. All right, so now in basketball, would you take Milwaukee because of their incentive to try to ramp it up, and because Giannis is probably the most focused? LeBron James just cares about his points in a championship. Giannis cares about his team getting really good for the playoffs. Even though the number's probably going to be high, would you kind of just want to look at Milwaukee even though a number might be high?
I think the one thing I would do is not fade Milwaukee. You know, if you could make a case to bet on them for other handicapping reasons, that would be good. You're not going to get a lot of value, but I certainly wouldn't want to step in front of them and fade them, because I feel that to a man, I think they're going to be out to make a statement in these 8 basketball games. They are indeed going to be the team to beat. The Lakers want to do the same thing, but the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, hold the cards.
Is there a good underdog play to win the championship? I mean, the Lakers, I think, are favored because everybody's just going to bet the Lakers. But is it a good enough price to take the Clippers or Milwaukee if you were betting on a team to win the championship?
Well, the Clippers is a real good example because, you know, if they can take down the Lakers, and, you know, they do have enough personnel to do something just like that, you know, they could well be. Value is all going to be betting anybody who's not a favorite and has a chance, and that could well be a team like the Clippers. You've also got a team like Oklahoma City who has some desire, but they still have to, you know, obviously play in these first 8 games to prove that. So this is like walking on the moon. Is what it is. You don't know what your next step is going to be. You don't know what crater you're going to step into in betting these games. And I think it's almost next to impossible until a flow begins to develop, and that flow is not going to develop until we get to the NBA playoffs.
All right, Mark Lawrence with us. Mark, let's get to the baseball. It's probably a little easier. It's not, nothing's easy to bet on baseball because of the pitchers. But the problem there is pitchers that are horses, and there's only a few of them in baseball, are probably not going to pitch more than 4 or 5 innings. So how would you look at betting the baseball games?
a lot like spring training, except the fact that the pitchers aren't going to have spring training behind them, which makes it, again, a difficult situation. And you mentioned, you hit it right on the head, most of the prices are going to be priced on the pitchers and their names. You got Garrett Cole. Right now he's a $1.28 favorite over Max Scherzer in the Nationals at Washington. And the first thing that comes off the page to me is that you look at Scherzer, I mean, in the last 3 years, he's been an underdog only four times, and he's won all four of those baseball games. Price is going to be clearly on Cole here, obviously, to go out and do well to justify the big contract that he's got. But we don't know what who's playing on these teams behind them. We don't know what players, again, are contracting the virus, who's in the lineup, who's not in the lineup. So that, that again, begins to factor into it. And you're going to see moves in these games, Howard, based not so much on the pitcher, but more on the players who are out of the lineup or are supposed to be in the lineup. You get a Mike Trout who might not be in a lineup, and that's going to impact the L.A. Angels tremendously, the price of the baseball game, maybe even more so that way than the pitchers will.
You know, and it's fascinating that I had Larry Boa on last week, and he said, you got to look at the bullpens, because this is really going to be about the bullpens. Teams with strong bullpens, he thought Cincinnati had one, but now they're questioning, there's guys questioning whether they want to play. Tampa has a terrific, first of all, they're a really good team, and people don't really understand it, have a great bullpen. So you look at the bullpens, but the price will be based on the starters. So you might find a starter where you can get a good underdog price. And this is, I'm just thinking out loud now. A good underdog price, but their bullpen's really good. And the manager could go to the bullpen. You know, starter could go maybe three innings, four innings, and then go right to the bullpen and just kind of grind it through that way.
That's a great handicap. And what you hit on with Tampa Bay, I think, is right on point. That's the team that I would look at. I think that would be the best value for Tampa because they do start the relief pitchers. And not so much the starting pitchers, the majority of the games. That's what their M.O. was last year. It'll be their M.O. right out of the gate this year. A lot of value to Tampa Bay. And, again, it's not like it's the pitchers are being priced for the names of the starters. You've got pitchers that are going to pitch one, two, or three innings in intervals in groups of doing just that. So if you can find a team like Tampa Bay who's going to do the same type of game plan, I think that'll work out real well in baseball. But I think the biggest trap will be betting pitchers on names alone. Garrett Cole, you know, these big-name dynamic starters, because, one, you're not going to get the innings out of them, and, two, anything you're going to get out of them is going to be rust because they don't have the spring training behind them.
Mark, are there prop bets on teams just making the playoffs, or do you have to win the prop bets are only on, or not even a prop bet, but there's a bet on winning the division? Go ahead.
What there are a lot of out there, Howard, is teams that they're figuring the season win totals of you on 60 games. Okay, right. They're breaking 60 games down into season win totals. And what they're doing is if you equate what they did last year to what the 60-game totals are this year, 37%, they're going to be playing 37% of the games this year that they played in a full 162-game schedule last year. So if you use that 37% as a factor and you look at, for instance, the Houston Astros, they won 107 games last year. And if you use that multiplying factor of them, their season win total right now, or that would have been 39.6 wins this year. 107 equate to 39.6. The total on them is 34.5. So they're the number one team that there is perhaps the most value on from what they did last year to what the season total is this year. They come up a lot short that way this year, and I think it's because of the cheating scandal and the justification of all that. You got the San Francisco 49ers San Francisco Giants won 77 games last year. That equates to 28.5 wins. Their total is 24.5. So there's a four-game value on San Francisco from a season win total aspect that way this year. And on the flip side, the teams that are overpriced, the San Diego Padres won seven games last year. That comes out to almost 26 wins. They're priced at 31 wins. And the same thing with the Angels and the White Sox. There's about almost a five-game value to them as well. So you're going to find a lot of sharp people playing that aspect, looking at but always looking for value and looking to see on a table of what I'm getting as opposed to what I should be getting. So you'll be seeing people surprisingly playing the Houston Astros on these totals, most likely the San Francisco Giants the same way, and they'll be fading the San Diego's, the Angels, and the White Sox.
All right. Let's get to prop bets. The Borgata, and if people want to download the app, and obviously you have to be in New Jersey to do it, but BorgataSports.com, you can get the app and put it on your phone, and they have a lot of things up, but the prop bets, which are kind of interesting, and I'm going to ask you each one. There's a prop bet on the highest batting average for any player, over or under 345. What would you do, over or under?
For a 60-game schedule, and because I believe hitting will be ahead of pitching, I would go over the 345 for the batting average.
Okay.
I know there's another prop out there, well, anybody hit 400, you know, that's to an extreme. But I think on the 345, because of being a shorter schedule, again, I think the hitters are ahead of the pitchers, somebody's going to emerge out of that, and I think hit over 345.
Okay, that one I would go over, but I'm not sure about the others. Most home runs by any player over under 20.5 is what the Borgata has up.
That's a tough number to crack, and I'd probably go under that because of the safety factor involved in these games. You could have a player who's taking the ball out of the park. Let's just say, for argument's sake, Giancarlo Stanton all of a sudden is healthy and plays, and he gets off to a terrific start, and then suddenly he tests positive, and he's no longer there, and your bet is right out the window. So you'd have to have a player that, number one, that you projected well, and number two, stayed healthy and was able to play in these games. So, again, I think it's an impossible thing to look at, and I think it's an underplay.
Okay, RBIs by any player, over under 47.5.
Same concept. The same concept. Now, somebody could get hot. Somebody can carry a team. You don't know who that's going to be. But when you're betting these things, you're going in there. You have players that you have targeted to do just that. And are your targeted players going to remain healthy? That's the question here. So, you know, if you're betting them on Aaron Judge and he's not suddenly not in the lineup because of injury or because of the disease, you know, you're SOL. So, again, I'm erring to caution here, and I'm going to go under on a majority of these plays here because they have to play 100% to fulfillment, and I don't think you're going to see that.
All right, most hits by any player, over under 78.5.
I don't think there's a hitter in baseball, you know, that's dominant enough to carry the freight. You know, Mike Trout, if he's healthy, maybe. But again, if he's healthy, or as you mentioned to me earlier, if he even wants to play.
Right.
So, again, erring to caution. I'm going under. I'm going to sound like a record here, but I'm going to go under.
No, and I agree with you there, too. Most strikeouts by any pitcher, over under 99.5.
Pitchers
the innings. The innings won't be enough to go over.
No, they won't. They're going to be spotting the innings. The pitchers are going to start 3, 4, 5. They're not going to care about getting wins for the pitcher, you know, like in the, you know, to win 20 games in a season. The manager is just going to manage the game, and if they can get 3 or 4 good innings out of a starter, out he's going to come. So it's going to be short innings for a pitcher. I think that's probably one of the better underplays.
All right, most wins by any pitcher, over under 8.5. Now here, let me just add this, and I don't know what they're going to do. If a pitcher, the rule is you have to pitch 5 innings to get the win. Is that rule still going to be in place? Because there's some pitchers that probably won't go 5 innings to start. Now, if that's the case,
I don't think they're going to care who gets awarded the win personally. I don't think they're going to change the rule because they don't care about the designation. So
right.
They're not going to worry about Max Scherzer winning, you know, his share of what would have been 20 games or 37% of those games or whatever the figure happens to be.
So with that being the case, 8.5 is a high number.
Yes, it is. Exactly. Because, again, the pitchers aren't going to see the majority of pitchers are not going to see 5 innings.
So basically, the only one I would go over on is the batting average. I'd go over the 345. Everything else, I would take the under. I would play the
under. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, all right.
There's too many factors you have to overcome.
All right, explain what happened in the Korean baseball. Somebody pass-posted, and somebody's going to get in trouble, obviously. I can't believe that the people already knew what was happening through most of the game when they could place a bet. How did that happen?
It really, it happens with the people that, you know, because everything is not 100% It's not auto-loaded from computers. You have to input starting times and dates, and there had to be an error on a person inputting that, or there was funny business going on, much like there was in horse racing 10 years ago when they were past posting a horse race.
Pat, to explain to people that don't understand, you could still bet the game, and it was in the seventh or eighth inning, so you pretty much knew. A team could be up 6-1, and obviously you'd bet the team that was winning, and you could still make that bet somewhere around the seventh or eighth inning. It's amazing that actually could happen. Now, I don't know. There was a lot of people made a lot of money, from what I understand.
I'm going to equate a short little quick story with you, but when I was a young kid growing up, just got married, a good friend of mine was a bookmaker, and I used to help him answer phones when he was overloaded. And he'd oftentimes get calls on people that would want to bet games that already started, or worse, had already played, and they knew the result. And I said to him, I says, you can't take these bets. And he says, just give it to him. He says, we want to keep them happy. Just give it to him. Well, in this world we live in today, you can't just give them a bet like that. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. No. So whoever that happened with, obviously was a computing programming error, and there's some scalps that are going to have to help them because of this. But it's Korean baseball. Who has a monitor on Korean baseball?
Who's even betting Korean baseball? I mean, this is a joke.
It's the degenerates. It's absolutely people that absolutely have to have action, on what it is. People who become horse racing fans because of this. Maybe people who maybe were a casual fan are a lot more interested here today because the racetrack refused to shut down. Down here in Florida, Gulfstream, there's an order that was handed out by the state, and they said, screw it, we're racing horse racing, and they're appealing it. So all the while they're appealing it, they're continuing to race because now they have an opportunity to capture an audience of fans that weren't horse racing fans but suddenly are because they want action.
All right, speaking of the degenerates, the last one, if you're really a degenerate, and I don't know where you can play it, but there's bets up somewhere. The hot dog eating contest today on Coney Island. What would you bet? There's somewhere the people are taking bets on that. What would you bet on the hot dog eating contest?
Well, I've got a guy in my office, and he does a terrific job handicapping the totals in the National Football League for us. He does an NFL totals tip sheet. He does great on it because that's all he does. And he wrote an article. I've got it on the Playbook website today. So check it out, and you'll go in-depth with that. But, the bottom line cutting to the chase is he goes under 72.5 hot dogs today. And the largest reason that he goes under that is because there is no crowd. And he feels Joey Chestnut feasts off the crowd. So there's nobody that's going to be there to push him in the end to down those, final two or three dogs that he needs to set a record to get over a total. So I look for him to go to a leisurely pace today and go under 72.5 with Joey Chestnut.
All right, so we're betting under the hot dogs that Joey Chestnut eats, or the winner. It would be, and Joey Chestnut, unless he's playing little games and he bet on somebody else. And if he did bet on somebody else, it would be an under anyway. So if you can get
his ego's not going to let that happen, though, Howard. He wants to be the champ.
So if you can go under 72.5, you can get a play on that. Do it. All right, Mark.
And you're gonna get him as a dog too. You're gonna get like plus 130.
So see that? A dog for the dogs.
A dog for the dog.
All right, Mark. Yeah, people want to check out some of that info you just talked about. Playbook.com on the internet, is that correct?
Playbook.com. Yeah, you can check out the Joey Chestnut story right on the site. Yes.
All right, Mark. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. It's really a time when people have to understand that, and if they do, we'll kind of overcome this a little bit until we get a vaccine. But if not, we're going to be in the same boat. And just say hello to that idiot who's governor in the state of Florida, will you?
Only if I have to. Okay.
All right, Mark. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
You too, Howard. Have a good holiday. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Mark Lawrence with us. Oh, it's just crazy. All right. We'll get to the phones. 215-592-9494. How many people would bet on the hot dog eating contest today? Actually, if I could find somebody to take the under on the 72 hot dogs, I would bet that. And people are going to bet it. I would bet that. All right, we'll get back to the phones. We'll hear from Bryce Harper on his thoughts about where baseball is, about what Mike Trout's doing. We'll get to that. what happened close to this date in baseball, all that coming up. WIP Sports Time is now 8:50. 94 WIP on this July 4th holiday. Going to be another hot one today. It was hot yesterday. I don't know how I did over 30,000 steps yesterday, which is over 14 miles. I have no idea, but did it earlier in the morning and later in the afternoon, but and then some in the evening. It was crazy. All right, let's go. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Keith. How are you today?
You know, I'm good. I'm good on this July 4th holiday.
It was good to hear it. So, Howard, I do have a couple questions for you about the Phillies.
Sure.
What is the FDR setup going to look like?
They've already been over there. They mostly the minor league guys. You know, there's different drills over there. People, by the way, there's security, so people can't really get over there.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yeah, no. It's just people can't get into the stadium. You might be able to stand on the – I think FDR Park is closed, and there's probably security that tells you – I don't know if FDR Park is closed. But near the baseball field, you can probably look at it from a distance. But they're not – I don't think there's any of the top players. I don't know if they'll have some of the pitchers over there because there's not enough – although you have more – you only have one mound over there where in the ballpark you have both bullpens you can use. So you got two, four – five. So you got five mounds over it. So you got more mounds over there. But yeah, so they're over at FDR Park just doing different drills. And they're in shifts, so not all the team can be together at one time anyway.
Right. So I assume that any improvements they made, they're going to leave when they leave? Or
yeah, I mean,
what do you think about that?
Well, who knows? I think the city probably pays for the upkeep, so I don't think they're going to spend a lot of money on recreation facilities, but the Phillies put in a new mound and did some things with the infield dirt to set it up for that. But yeah, I'm sure they'll stay there for the time being. They're not going to take them away, but you know, who knows what the upkeep will be when the Phillies are done.
Okay. Howard, in the 60-game season, where do you think? I mean, do you think the Phillies are a playoff team this year?
No, and here's why I don't. The quality of play will not be the same. They have to play the Yankees, Red Sox, and Tampa. Now, Baltimore is a pumpkin. They're a terrible team. So you have Baltimore, and then you're within your division. Now, Larry Boa brought up last week, well, the other teams in the division have to play the same teams. However, the Phillies are not good enough to win the division, in my opinion. So you'd have to hope for the wild card. But because the other divisions play easier teams, they have a better chance to have a better record in a wild card. So that's why, to be a wild card playoff team, that's why. Now, if they expand it, and they were talking about expanding it, I don't know how you can all of a sudden do it once it starts. Who knows whether they would do it. But if they don't expand it and they have it the way it is, I just don't see how they're a playoff team.
I don't think they have enough pitching for this little
matter. Their bullpen's a big thing. I don't know if they have enough bullpen. Yeah, they don't have enough pitching or bullpen. I agree with that. Did you want to get in on the best trade in Philadelphia sports?
Absolutely, Howard. So when the Flyers acquired Eric Lindros, he was a good little start, but things didn't really come together until February 9th, 1995, when the Flyers sent Mark Recchi in a third-round pick to Montreal for Eric Desjardins, John LeClair, and Gilbert Dion. That's when it really – that was the trade that put the Flyers back on the map.
You know what? That's not a bad trade. I don't know if that's when it – wow, that's not a bad trade. You're absolutely right. All right, I'm going to put you in the mix for that Philly spring training cap, which is available at the Philly store now, at the New Era store, which opens on Monday. All right, Matt, I'm going to put you in. Hold on, we'll get your Kyle will get your information. And thanks for the call, and have a happy weekend. Have a happy July 4th. 94 WIP, we'll get back to the other callers. Your thoughts on baseball, whether do we really need basketball and baseball right now? Does it matter to you? I know we want live games. I get all that. But do we really need it? Once football starts, and it doesn't look like they're going to have preseason games if it continues along this line where the Players Association, but whatever the case may be, do you really need it considering the risks, and they're going to put fans at risk, and I think that's a problem. Although New York got, we'll talk about that when we come back. 215-592-9494. WIP Sports Time is now 8:58. Sports Radio WIP on a July 4th Saturday. Phillies spring training 2.0. It's actually, I call it just training camp 2.0. It can't be spring. It's 90 some degrees. So talking about that, the best trades in Philadelphia sports or a national trade. And I've got these really cool Philly spring training hats, courtesy of the New Era Philly store, which opens on Monday, 10 to 6 every day of the week. It's or every day, Monday through Friday. Talk about that. It's just, you can bet the hot dog eating contest today. I'm taking the under 72 and a half hot dogs. I'm glad to see that the New York governor, really, I think, a sharp guy. I'm not in the state of New York, but he's done some really good things, Cuomo. And he said no, because the Yankees were talking about putting fans in the stadium. No. No fans in any of the stadiums or arenas. He put his foot down as it stands right now. Do you really want the basketball or baseball? Or not that you want it. Is it really needed? Because we all want something. And I agree. It's the quality of the sport is not going to be that good. But we certainly need it. And it's just, it's something that is going to happen. I'm disappointed that these sports don't seem to care about the positive tests for the coronavirus. And they don't care. They're just going to power their way right through it. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Vince. Vince, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How you doing?
You know what? I'm pretty good. I feel healthy. Knock on wood. And I'm staying healthy by exercising during the day. But,
great.
You know, it's not great. It's not easy. You're not doing a lot of things. And I don't like going down the shore on holidays anyway because it's too crowded. Now it's really too crowded in a very risky situation. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just a couple things before I have a guess on the biggest trader. Just the diversion of sports. And I talked over my sons and friends. And, you know, I actually stop listening when it's going to start. I just want to be able to come home one night, turn on the television, and watch sports. I understand that we're going to miss some great players as things go on. And the truth is, it may never happen. You know, by the end of July, it may spike so bad that it may never happen. So
I'm going to tell you what. Let me just interject here. Regardless of how bad it gets, unless it's the whole team or unless it's half the team, they are going to play. The greed that exists in not just professional sports, but in college football, in college sports, is disgraceful. So they will power their way through it. The NBA says, well, we'll see what happens. They also will power their way through it. They will play this. I would be shocked. Now, in basketball, if you lose three players off a starting team, that makes that, when you get into the playoffs, that makes it a complete farce. But I just don't see how they're going to stop because they care too much about the money. But that's probably my opinion.
You're probably right. Time will tell and all that. But here's my guess. And before I mention the name, once I build it up, you'll understand. When this trade was made, it was an even trade, at least on paper. One guy had 77 wins. The other guy had 75 wins. And the one guy that we traded from our team in Philadelphia, the Phillies, came in off a no-hitter against the Big Red Machine.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you, because I already mentioned that trade at the top of the show, which you
didn't
hear. That might have been, and I don't know if that was the greatest, but it's one of the top two, because we got Steve Carlton. I remember that. We traded. Were you angry when they made that trade?
Was I angry? No, absolutely not.
You weren't? I mean, Rick Wise just came off.
I wasn't angry. I was only 11 years old, so at the point in time, I was young. I watched the Rick Wise no-hitter. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I liked Pete Rose before he became a Philly. But was I angry? I wasn't angry. I was surprised. They actually made it right during spring training, actually, February of 72, which was surprising. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I missed the beginning of your show, so I didn't know that you had mentioned it.
Well, that's all right, because I kind of use that as a reference point. I'm sorry, but if you have another one, I'd be happy to take it. If you think,
not off the top of my head, I thought the trade that the gentleman just said was awesome at the time.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that one, but that was a good one. That hockey trade was a really good one. Yep.
Yeah, I probably should have had a backup, but nothing that jumps out. But anyway,
that's all right. That's all right. All right, I appreciate the call. All right, let's go to let's move on to Will. Will, you're on WIP.
Yo, what's up, Howard? Oh, my God, it's been a long time, man. What's up with you?
Hey, Will, what's happening, man?
I can't call. I'm so hurt, though, because my phone was broke. I got dropped it on the street by accident. Then
wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean your phone was broke?
I started running over it, so I started acting like a little baby. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
What do you mean your phone was broke? What the hell is
that? Well, I had it on somebody's car, and I forgot. Then we drove. I said, wait a minute, my phone. So I went back, walked down Broad Street, and was like, oh, my God. Finally saw it. You know, I was sticking my head out the window trying to, you know, look for this daggone phone. Smash. I guess every car in America is just like, hey, get the phone. I'm like, come on, man.
So now I had to buy a new phone. You can't operate in today's world without a phone, Will. Can't do it.
Hey, listen, they said after two times of doing insurance, you can't get insurance no more, so I had to buy a new phone. Hurt my whole feeling.
So what's happening, Will? What's happening?
Well, I'm thinking about what you're saying about with the situation with football, baseball, basketball, and everything.
I didn't even include football because we're not there yet, so we're not sure exactly what's going to happen. But I have an idea when guys report that there's going to be a positive test. But let's just deal with the basketball and the baseball coming up right now.
It's going to be sick, especially with the betting. Like I told Angelo, it's going to be a sad situation because I don't know if they're going to use it as an advantage, because, you know, you got the star players, and if everybody know the star player got the corona, oh, my God. So now all bets is off. I don't want to bet, but then some bets are on. But if they use it to the point of, hey, this is what we're going to do. Before they go out there, you know, and they play that week, they're going to hook them up with this chick. She got the corona. They ain't going to know it. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at the aspect of all these new rookies and all these new players stepping up, and the games could be either mutual or suspect. I'm seriously going crazy.
So you want the – you're
no,
okay.
No, I don't want it. I'm just saying, to the point of what we're going to be looking at in our near future – it's going to be basically suspect. Like, you're not going to.
Well, the quality of play, you know, is not going to be good. You know, the quality of play is not going to be near the level that our expectations. And I just don't think the pitchers are going to be ready. It's going to be different. The rules, extra innings, you put a man on second base, which you'll get over that quick enough. There'll be all kinds of pitching changes. I don't know how long that's going to make the games because the starters, for the first probably three starts, are not going to go. I would be shocked if a starter goes more than five innings. Shocked.
Wow. Well, I'm just looking. And, oh, yeah, I want to thank you also for years ago when we was going in the Super Bowl with good old Donovan McNabb. He threw up. Anyway, and you punked me when I did that new Eagles chant, and you said, go in the middle of Broad Spring Garden and do that Eagle chant.
And you did it.
And then everything just went skywards. So, you know, good looking at it, buddy.
I made you a star, Will, when I put you in the middle of Broad and Spring Garden. Rush hour. Didn't we do it during rush hour?
Yes, we did. 6 o'clock. You was like, go ahead down there. You give me a punk move. But you didn't know I had a video camera at the time, and I did it. And you didn't really like the Eagles chant, but you did. So I was like, all right, you know, everybody else is going to like it. I don't care who the hell don't like it. You know what I'm saying? But I found out the whole world loves it. But when it came, when I got down here, Channel 10 and 29 was out there videotaping when I got, you know, so some people heard me. So they came down there. We was all in the middle of the street. I got some girls from community college that was there. We all did it in the middle of the street. It was beautiful.
See, I made you a star, Will. I made you a star.
The most thing I got to admit, I was the only person to actually interview you that day when you supposedly had quit WIP. Remember I came in there and attributed to Howard Eskin that I put on YouTube? Man, when you gave that interview, I don't think nobody else interviewed you. So
no.
I thank you.
Well, it's okay. It's all good. I didn't. Yeah, I punked you on that, too.
No, that wasn't a punk move. That was a real move. Shoot. Nobody don't know my qualities, but I'm going to show them this year because it's time to stand up. But as for my trade, I believe that Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee trade to Seattle in 2009. Superb.
Well, why was that a good one?
We got Roy Halladay.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, but we only got him for 2 years. I wouldn't call that one of the best, but I'll put you down, but I wouldn't call that one of the best. So
well,
you're saying
you know,
Roy Halladay.
Stands for itself. I'm just happy we... I mean, Cliff Lee, you know, but yeah. Hey,
well, Cliff Lee, that was a different trade. The Cliff Lee was a different trade.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff Lee wasn't traded for Roy Halladay.
Uh-oh. Well, I got to go back.
You got to come up with the right info.
It's the 4th of July. Somebody got to do something wrong today. Come on.
Okay. All right, Will. Stay safe there, genius.
I'm trying.
All right, see ya. All right. July 2nd, the Phillies played a doubleheader, and because of a rain delay, the second game didn't start till about 1 o'clock, was over at 4:40. And it's always great to hear Harry Callis. Let's hear Harry Callis on the way that game ended at 4:40 in the morning. And then I have a story about that game because I was there until, I won't even call it the bitter end. It's like, what the hell am I doing there at 4:40 in the morning? But here it is from the call by Harry Callis to end that night.
Now the stretch. And the pitch. Swing and a base hit to left center field. Hank Camellia's going to score. This game is over. On an RBI hit by Mitchie Poo. The Bells have won it 6-5-10 on the Wild Things RBI hit. Can you believe it?
No, I didn't believe it, but I was glad it was over. They were playing the Padres, so I guess that's why they had to play the second game, because the Padres must have already been a rescheduled game, because the Padres weren't coming in again. It was on July 2nd. I forget the year. It had to be in the 90s. What was it? 90-something. So I forget the year, but regardless, it was on July 2nd. And what was the year, Kyle?
It was 1993.
It was the year that they got to the World Series. So I forget some of the particulars of the game, but I remember when it ended. And the one thing I remembered, they scheduled fireworks that night after the game. I guess they got them going within about 5 minutes. Fireworks, and the neighbors went crazy. Fireworks are going off at like 4:45, 4:50 in the morning. They had their fireworks show, and the city after that put in an ordinance: no fireworks to be started after midnight. But they actually had the fireworks display after that because that's what the people came for. There weren't a lot of people left. But an interesting, interesting day. All right, let's go back to the phones. And is Pat next? Pat?
Hey. Hey, Howard. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to get your thoughts about Pro Football Focus. A couple guys on there said that the Eagles would not win 9.5 games. I want to see what you have to say about that and the trade.
Okay, well, all right, let's go with the season. We don't know what the rosters are going to look like. You know, everybody's going to be in the same situation where you're not going to have a lot of on-the-field time. So the quality of the play can't be as good. But that goes for everybody. So somebody's got to win. So I would take it over because three teams in their division have new coaches. So that they're going to probably split with the Cowboys. The Cowboys, everybody thinks they're going to be good. They're going to just be the same. The Giants have a new coach. The Redskins have a new coach. But being you have a new coach and you don't have enough time on the field, I think that helps the Eagles. Some of their schedule is tough. They've got to go to Arizona. They got to go to San Francisco. It's a really good number. Yeah. I'm not strong on it, but I would lean to them winning 10 games. But it's a real good.
I got them going at least 11 because of that. To your point, they are already solidified. They got a lot of guys.
Those two games
back.
I think they could beat San Francisco. I'm not big on the 49ers this year, but I don't know that that Arizona game is going to be kind of tough. It's going to be tough. So we'll see. But 11 now I think is a stretch, but I would take the 10 for sure. Not for sure. I would bet the over, but 9 or it's really a good number. It's really a good number. All right, what's your trade?
Fo, Moses Malone.
All right, what did they trade for Moses?
Caldwell Jones and the number one pick. That number one pick did turn into Ralph Sampson, I believe. But Moses did bring that. He was the guy that brought the title. The team was good. He made him great, in my opinion. And then,
I think it was a signing, but they had to make the trade. But you're right, it was a trade. Caldwell Jones did a great job for the Sixers. And I know in talking to Billy Cunningham, he really liked Caldwell Jones, and it really, he really was disappointed, but he knew he had to make the trade. That's a good trade, too. All right, I'm going to put you in the mix for that Philly spring training cap. All right?
Thank you.
So hold on, and Kyle will get your information. All right. That is a pretty good trade. All right, because I'm going to take 3 or 4. All right. Hey, Pat, thanks for the call, and have a great weekend. And hold on. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. We'll hear from Bryce Harper coming back on, the way he's looking at baseball now after those terrible negotiations that pissed off everybody. We'll take a look at that. And his thoughts on Mike Trout possibly not playing and what his thoughts are on himself. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Howard Eskin here on a July 4th Saturday. WIP Sports Time is now 9:19. WIP on a July 4th Saturday. Weather's going to be hot. Let me, I think it's going to be in the 90s again today. It was hot yesterday. Boy, I couldn't walk in the middle of the afternoon, but I walked late afternoon. It was still in the 90s. It was crazy. I mean, it's so hot, but I still got to get my steps in and my miles. And this last week, I averaged between 14 and 15 miles a day. It's absolutely insane. But let me see. In Philadelphia, actually, it's not going. It doesn't look like it's going to get in the 90s. That's good. Still be nice. It's going to be by 11 o'clock in Philadelphia. It's going to be 80, and then the hottest it's going to get. It's going to get 89. It's going to get hotter as the day goes on. 89. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and very little chance of rain, but they always put in chance of rain just so they're not wrong. All right, Bryce Harper yesterday spoke after the workouts, and it's kind of interesting workouts. They're like in separate groups, not everybody at the same time. It's really kind of fascinating the way they're doing it. They're just trying to get them some kind of ready, but they're technically you can't get them ready in this short period of time. But Bryce Harper, one of the things he was asked yesterday, with all the negotiation, and he joined in with Blake Snell, and that was a mistake on his part. But again, I'm sure he was listening to his agent Scott Boras, who really is just he's the devil. He's the devil in baseball. But it's Bryce. So Bryce likes him. It's his agent. He just got him the contract, whatever. Scott Boras makes too much money, but that's another point. But the state of baseball, the negotiations, as ugly as they were, Bryce Harper kind of addressed where baseball is now and a lot of that because of the way negotiations went. Let's hear from Bryce Harper.
You know, I think everybody can say that the game is hurting right now. We need to get back on the field and try to turn that page as quick as possible and grow this game the best we can. You know, people want to see us play. People want to see us on the field. And, you know, that works for both sides. You know, so if we can, you know, hopefully do the best that we can for the next couple of years and hopefully get everything situated and get us back onto the field as quick as possible, then that's what's going to be best for our game and best for our sport. And, you know, all we want to do is grow this game. I mean, especially myself, you know, I want to do everything I can possible to leave this game better than when I got in it. And it was such a great game when I got here, and it's still a great game. It's just we have to understand as individuals, as players, as owners, as everybody, that we need to come to our, you know, best agreement and get back onto the field as best as possible and move this game forward. I mean, it's sad that, you know, it's at the, you know, state where it is now. And, you know, hopefully we can get back to being where we are and growing this game as best as possible.
You know, I don't know that this game's going to be better because the way the game was before, I saw something on TV yesterday in honor of the Hamilton on the Disney Channel. People were watching that. It was the debut of Hamilton on Disney Plus. But so they talked about Hamiltons. And sure enough, I almost forgot about Billy Hamilton, stealing bases. Ricky Henderson, back in the day, stealing bases. They don't do that anymore. That's a part of the game that was exciting. Guys was just stealing bases, just running around the bases. It created an anticipation. It caused problems for the pitcher. Players don't steal anymore. The speed of the game, you're fast, that's great. But it doesn't factor into the way the game's played that much anymore. It's all about home runs, walks, and if you strike out, no big deal. You struck out, no big deal. It's the game can't be better the way that they now try to play it because of analytics. I can live with the no bunt, and I understand that a bunt giving up and out is more. But before they started using analytics, that was a feeling by a lot of baseball people anyway. Not everybody. And I can buy that part of it. But to take away the stolen bases, to do the things that you need to do, to take away a single and to move a runner, to take away hitting behind the runners, to take away that it's not going to, and it's not Bryce Harper's fault. Bryce Harper fits into the way they're playing the game right now. Home runs and strikeouts and walks. That's all it's about. That doesn't make it a more exciting game. Home runs are almost like the way the ballparks are built, the way the baseballs are juiced up, the way the bats are harder than they've ever been, the way the pitching is not as good as it used to be. It's just not a better game. It is not a better game. And it's flat out clear that it's not a better game. Home runs, unless it's a game-winning home run, another home run. No, it's not going to be better. But baseball has other problems besides that right now. Getting people back, and there's a lot of people, and they'll be back eventually. And there's some people that won't be back this year, especially for the season that's been put in place. But people will be back. I mean, that's just what baseball is. People will be back. But the analytics have really bleeped up this game to take away a lot of the exciting factors that were part of this baseball game. All right, let's go to John. You're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. I really enjoyed listening to you on Saturdays.
Thanks, John.
Sitting out on my porch. I'm headed to Ridley Creek State Park. They have a 4.3-mile trail. And when I do it, I get a little over 10,000 steps. So when you're saying you're walking how many miles?
I'm right now, the last probably close to 2 weeks, I'm doing between 14 and 15 miles a day. Let me just give you a little rundown here. I started out at 6 miles a day because I just wanted to get out and get some exercise. And I have an elliptical, but it's just more to go out, and I have a park nearby and the neighborhood and all that. And people think I'm crazy when they see me walking around all the time. Started at 6, it quickly got to 8, then I got to 10, and then I pushed myself. It's based on the steps. So I was doing, you know, nationally 10,000 steps is good for people. Well, then
right.
I said, well, if I'm doing less than 14,000, 15,000, it's not good enough. So then I got to 20,000. And then the last 5 days, I've done 30,000 steps. Over 30,000 steps, which is 14 to 15 miles.
I do 10,000 at work, and then when I come home, I go to Ridley, and I'll do another 10,000.
Yeah,
but I'm about 240 pounds.
Well, yeah, and I've lost some weight. I've lost about 16 pounds, and I didn't try to lose that much, but I'm eating redder. Yeah. I'm not as hungry. I'm not home just eating. So it's good exercise, and there's not a lot of people in the park. So it's not like it's crowded. It's like a bunch of soccer fields. I walk up there and then I walk, but it's a bunch of soccer fields and it's big and it's got a walking path. But no, I didn't think I was going to get over 30,000 yesterday. Then I pushed myself last night, so I got over 30,000 again. But
yeah, well,
anyway,
go
it's good exercise.
Right now, but I wanted to talk to you. I'm racking my brain about a trade because there's so many bad trades, but good trade. Oh, I think that gentleman is. Talking about Moses Malone, I couldn't remember how they got Moses, but that was an awesome trade because it yielded a championship. So that's probably the winner.
Which one do you say?
The gentleman that called about Malone.
Oh, the Moses. You know what? Between that one, yeah, the Flyers didn't win, so that one. But I'm going to give away three or four of these spring training hats. So, but
well,
if you have another one, it's the top one might be that Flyers one. Between those two, they're two really good. The Steve Carlton one's the best, but I took that off the table at the beginning only because I mentioned it, so I shouldn't have mentioned it, but that was easy. But after that, there's probably some other really good trades that I haven't remembered.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. About the Carlton, that's what I was calling. I was going to say, well, that's the best trade at all time.
But I mentioned it. Yeah.
All right. Well, when the Flyers traded Shen, they got some good young players. I think they got Couturier, right?
You know, I'm not sure what that trade was.
I think they got some good young players. I think Sean Couturier might have been one, but otherwise, I have to go way back to the 70s when they traded Harold Jackson to get Roman Gabriel.
You know what? That wasn't a bad trade. When it was
yeah.
it Harold Jackson? Was Harold Jackson and Charlie Young? Didn't Charlie Young go in that trade, the tight end?
No, I don't think so. Charlie Young wasn't even on that team. That was way back in like 72, right?
73, I think.
Yeah. No, I don't think Young was part of that. He might have been.
Charlie Young got traded for somebody. He was a tight end. He was a top pick for the Eagles. I forget.
Oh yeah, he was terrific. But I don't think he was part of the Harold Jackson. That's earlier.
You know, maybe Kyle. I'm going to try to find out.
Well, put me in for that. I don't know. I might
All right,
have
which one?
Harold Jackson for Roman Gabriel.
All right. Yeah, Couturier wasn't traded for Shen, according to Kyle.
Okay.
So they did not get Couturier for Shen.
There's a ton of bad trades, right?
So that Harold Jackson for Roman Gabriel, which it was, but that's all right. All right, I'll put
it
you in
for it.
It
made it interesting.
Yeah. All right. All right. Hey, thanks. Hey, hold on. We'll get your name and address. Hold on. Harold Jackson, was he in it? Did they trade Charlie Young too? I got to find out if they traded Charlie Young. And what he was traded for. Boy, that is an interesting trade. Wow. All right. Let's. Who's our next caller, Kyle?
You go to Keith.
Who is it?
You can go with Keith.
Okay. Keith, you're on WIP.
Goodbye. Like $9.99. Okay. That's not bad at all. Yeah.
Hey.
You can hold it in park.
Hey, Keith.
And we'll hop on today, so please stay hydrated, okay?
Put him on hold. I got to listen to this whole conversation in case he says something stupid.
We have Bob on the line if we want to go with him.
Okay, let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Sounds like he just disconnected.
He disconnected. It wasn't me.
That was on him.
I bet these people don't know... My gosh. All right. But I just can't even work a phone anymore. Charlie Young. I'm trying to figure out Charlie Young. Darn. I forget what year that was in the. They traded Charlie Young. They did trade Charlie Young to the Rams for Ron Jaworski. That was actually, I just took away another trade. I just figured out what it was, so I gave it away. But Charlie Young was a, he was traded the Rams, but the Harold Jackson trade. I should not have mentioned it. That was a good trade. I don't know, it was one of the best, but Jaworski was a quarterback for the Eagles and did a really nice job. All right, let me give you the numbers. 215-592-9494.
Bob's back, by the way. Sorry.
What was that?
Bob is back on the line if you want to take
Okay. That's right. You know what? All right, let's take Bob, and then we'll go to – we'll take care of business here. Bob, you're on – Bob, what happened to you?
I don't know, Howard. I just got cut off here, but I'm your buddy from PGA National, former Philly guy who's down here in Florida. So
okay.
They got all our beaches shut down, but thank God I got a
– Well, that's because people didn't follow – the governor was an idiot. And then people didn't follow. They took it. They took things for granted, and now that's screwed everything up down there in Texas and Arizona, California. But the Texas governor might be the biggest moron in America of governors of the governor. He must be the biggest moron in America. You know, he tried to put fans in stadiums, and that was really for Jerry Jones, who I know, from what I understand, makes. Significant campaign contributions to him, which is a disgrace. But yeah, that's no, another story for another day. But go ahead.
No,
go ahead, Bob.
Hey, two things. You were always pretty close with Schmitty through the years.
Yep. Still talk to Mike. Mike's doing well right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I see him once in a while. Like, I see he and his wife occasionally, like at Costco or something like that. We, you know, they're in the community here. But
well, they're not living here. They're not living here.
I'm a PGA National. I'm a Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Down in Florida. What am I thinking about? You're right. Yeah, he's in, yeah. I think he's in,
Jupiter.
Jupiter. Right, Jupiter.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyhow, years ago, I used to be in touch with Conlon through the years, and he told a story which I didn't know if you were either familiar with or whether you were actually present when it took place. But supposedly Whitey had this, you know, Whitey was a pretty proud athlete in his own right.
Richie
Ashburn, tremendous squash
right.
player. Yeah. He was a world-class, squash player and a very good tennis player. And supposedly down in a country club in Clearwater, a tennis club in Clearwater, they had this, like, kind of a wager, and it was Rose and Schmidt against Conlon and Whitey. Whitey said, basically, I'll take Conlon and I'll whip the two of you. And supposedly... Conlon like netted a volley at match point, and Ashburn never spoke to him again. Rose and Schmidt won that, but Schmidt was such a great athlete, and almost everything he put his hand to. And I know that you were wild eyed about the Iverson over Schmidt thing, and I didn't blame you for that, by the way. So
yeah, it's a joke.
But anyhow,
it was a complete disgrace. Yeah.
Were you at that by any chance at that tennis match?
No, where are you going to see it? I think it was at Bel Air Beach Club, or that's where they used to.
I think you're right, but they said there were hundreds of people there watching that match.
Yeah, I was not there.
Yeah.
Obviously was a fierce guy when he played anything, but Schmidt was a great athlete, an unbelievable athlete, could do anything,
yeah.
Like, and he was,
just
people don't
guys,
realize, he had speed. People don't realize he had speed when he first came up. He should have had 30 stolen and bases 1 year and 30 home runs. One was taken away because Greg Luzinski interfered with the catcher. So he had 29 that year. But he was a great athlete. He had speed for the first part of his career. He was very, very good. Yes.
Hey, to your point earlier about the stolen base, you know, when I was a kid, we're the same age roughly. And I remember those tremendous Dodgers teams that basically it was like Maury Wills and their pitching staff, and they'd manufacture like a run or two off of Maury Wills. And that was amazingly exciting when he would start getting his lead off of first base. I just can remember those. I mean, I never liked the Dodgers, but you had to admire the way they won, baseball games. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, Maury Wills, I was a kid too, kind of in our lifetime, was really great. But then Ricky Henderson came along, and he broke his record. And then Billy Hamilton. When Billy Hamilton got on base, the last team he was with, I guess, was the Reds. Mm-hmm. When he got on base, I don't know if he's still playing or not. He got on base. It didn't matter. He was on second base. But it was so exciting to watch him go. And then he would steal third base. I'm sure at one point he probably stole second, third, and home. I wouldn't be shocked if he did that in his career. But I miss that. I miss the singles that you might be able to stretch in. I miss hitting behind a runner. I miss watching the strategy of the game, which doesn't exist anymore.
Clearly we used to get to see Deion Sanders down here in spring training with the Braves, and he was amazing to watch too.
Another guy that could steal bases.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Hey, quick question. Did you hear Ray Dittinger last week interview Herb McGee?
I heard a little bit of it, yes.
It was a tremendous interview, but one of the most interesting questions was, and Ray was very delicate the way he posed it. He said, you know, Herb, could you help like any shooter be better? And he goes, yeah, it's a matter of admitting you got a problem and then being willing to practice the fundamentals.
Okay, go ahead.
And he mentioned actually, he said, I don't know. Ray said, did the 76ers ever call you or this and that and the other thing? He says, well, let me tell you something. I saw Markelle Fultz before they drafted him. And he said, that guy flat out could not shoot. So to me, one of the most amazing deals in the world is the Celtics fleeced us. They got us to go up to number one when our clear need was we needed shooting. And we drafted a guy who could not shoot, according to one of the.
Well, here, let me just say this. Markelle Fultz, by most people's standards, was possibly the number one pick. Regardless of where the Celtics picked, they were going to get Tatum. What they did is they get a trade out of the Sixers. But I'm going to give you another story about Herb McGee, because they talked about Herb McGee working with Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons wouldn't work with him. Didn't even know him. But Ben Simmons worked with his brother at that time. So I don't know that Herb would share that. He says, if you're not going to work with me, I'm not coming there and just going to knock my head against the wall. Yeah, they talked to him about working with Ben Simmons, and it didn't work. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Let me run, and have a great, great holiday weekend and a great July 4th, and thanks for calling. We're as hot as Florida right now. 215-592-9494. WIP Sports Time is now 9:40. 94 WIP. Howard Eskin here on a July 4th Saturday. And Bryce Harper, speaking yesterday, talked about the state of baseball. We played that a little while ago. But also, what we have is the comments of Mike Trout, who's not sure. He's still not sure whether he wants to play because his wife is expecting their first child. He's not sure whether he wants to go back and forth. So Bryce Harper was asked about that yesterday. Let's hear from Bryce Harper.
I love being around him, and you know, I think being away from your family is, you know, one of the toughest parts to deal with, if that's how, you know, players are going to go. I think it gets to the point where you are kind of uncomfortable, just because I do have an infant at home. I have a wife at home. I have a, you know, pregnant wife at home. So I mean, I'm just trying to do everything possible to prevent anything from happening. If that's ordering groceries to come to the house, if that's, you know, staying 6 feet apart when I do go outside, if it is wearing a mask or anything like that. So I understand why, certain individuals will be, you know, possibly not very optimistic about this, or, you know, just don't feel comfortable. And I mean, I was definitely in that boat as well before I came here, thinking to myself, you know, should we go? Like, is this something that's going to happen? You know, something bad going to happen to my pregnant wife or my child. So, or anybody else in our clubhouse or even our media or anything else. So, I think this is just something that we all have to kind of, get used to a little bit and just try to do the best we can with the parameters that we do. If that is wearing masks or staying socially distanced apart, we just have to be, you know, do that to the best of our ability, and hopefully we can get through this season.
I can understand not wanting to play. I can understand that. I mean, the baseball or professional sports, right now, baseball and basketball. Oh, if you get in Major League Soccer, if you get sick, you get sick. I don't get it. I really don't get it. All right, let's go back to the phones and let me see what we got here. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Yeah, good morning, Howard. Happy Independence Day.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
I was listening to work. I originally called to connect the dots on the Charlie Young thing, but you already straightened that out.
Yeah, so. I knew he went to the Rams, but I forgot that he went for another quarterback. He went for Ron Jaworski. Yep.
Well, you were on the right wavelength anyway.
Yeah, right.
I'm kind of with you with the state of baseball today. I really don't like this current walk, strikeout, home run, three outcome, you know,
sucks
game that it's become. I'm kind of frustrated by that. It's going to be a, whatever happens this year with baseball, if anything does, it's going to be an exhibition. It might be a compelling exhibition because of the brevity of it.
It'll be between exhibition and the real thing. It'll be between exhibition and the real thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them getting some in, but I expect maybe 25% of the rank and file to just opt out and maybe another 25% to be sick out. So I don't expect much on the field.
All right. Well, you know, it's not going to be the same quality we're used to. Did you have a trade, or was it you just wanted to tell me about the Charlie Young trade?
Yeah, I did have a trade for you. When I think lopsided trades, one of the most lopsided of my lifetime had to be between the Cardinals and the Yankees. Bob Sykes for Willie McGee. Willie McGee was part of not only did he win batting titles, but he was part of some amazing Cardinals teams.
You know, it's probably, Jim, that's probably a good trade and a steal on one side, but there's nationally, there's got to be some trades that were better than that. But I appreciate it. I would tell you that wouldn't win. But next week we'll do something, and maybe you can participate in that. Have a great July 4th and stay safe. All right. I'm going to tell you about a great trade for the Cubs. I'm going to tell you how this happened. And don't blame me. Larry Bowa was traded to the Cubs, and the Cubs in that trade originally didn't get Ryne Sandberg. Here's what happened. I'm on the air on an FM station. First, it was WWDB, and I called Bowa during one of my commercial breaks because he was trying to get a new contract from the Phillies. It was like 82, I guess it was. And I just called to check on it, and he says, they're not going to give me the contract or trade me. I said, why? So I said, can you go on the air? So we go on the air, talks about it. There was a catcher named Keith Moreland and Bowa for Ivan De Jesus, and that was the particulars of the trade, the shortstop coming to the Phillies. Well, we talked about it that night. The Cubs fans went ballistic because Ivan De Jesus was a fan favorite. So the Cubs called the Phillies, were pissed that I was on the air doing it. And they couldn't be pissed at me. I was just doing my job. So the Cubs called off the trade. 3 weeks later, the Phillies threw in Ryne Sandberg in that trade to the Cubs, and the trade happened. Ryne Sandberg just didn't fit with the Phillies. He was a second baseman. They had Manny Trio. He couldn't play short or third because he didn't have the arm. And he was perfect for Wrigley Field. So Ryne Sandberg they included Ryne Sandberg 3 weeks later. If I hadn't called Bowa in that commercial break, Ryne Sandberg would have never become a Chicago Cub. It's interesting the way that happened. All right, let's go back to the phone. So who's next, Kyle? I got so
go
many
Mike.
Things. Mike, you're on WIP.
Happy 4th of July, Howard. So you're the reason why Ryne Sandberg's not a Philly. All right.
But I don't know that he would have fit in here. That's the problem, because they had players at those positions.
Not.
Yeah.
I want to talk. My father grew up as a St. Louis Cardinal fan, so I got to watch Lou Brock, Willie McGee, Vince Coleman, Ozzie Smith, and the way they played the game. I would give anything to have the game of baseball go back to, even if you walk, you put so much pressure on that pitcher. If you're going
walk, it could turn into a double.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly. And, you know, I hear players today, you know, Ryan Howard, when they did the shift on him, everybody would say, well, why don't you bunt the ball down the third baseline? And he would say, well, that's not the game. Well, if they're taking the game away from you, you take it away from them, you know? And I know nobody wants to see Ryan Howard bunt the ball down the third baseline and get a single. They want to see him hit the 400-foot home run. But the game is ruined by that. And do you think they will ever take the shift out of the game to improve it?
No, I like the shift. If players are that good, I mean, if they leave the whole left side of the infield open, I mean, because all they want to do is hit a home run.
Hit the ball there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They better not take away the shift, because that'd be stupid. I mean, why don't we just tell players where you can hit it and where you can't hit it?
Exactly.
You know, let them shift. If they want to shift, let the players do the other things.
Exactly.
Then they'll stop shifting. If you have a man on second, they still shift. With Ryan Howard, they would shift with a man on third. They keep the third baseman and to keep him close, and he wouldn't take the base hit.
Right.
I got a trade
for you. I don't know if it was mentioned earlier. Herschel Walker, when he left the Cowboys for that fiasco with
Minnesota.
You know,
that was because they traded basically their whole first round, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's look who they got. They got
Mike. That's a great trade.
Famers.
You know what? I've texted with Herschel off and on. And he told me anytime that I want to have one of these weeks, I got to have when we get closer to football season.
He's a great guy.
Terrific guy. So he said anytime I want him to come on, he'd be happy to come on. So we got to get him. But that is a great national trade. Yeah, I mean that set up the Cowboys. That helped them set up.
They got Emmitt Smith, Irvin. I'm not sure if they got Aikman out of that.
Well, you know, Aikman, I think that was with the first-round pick. I think they got Aikman as part of all that, too. Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure. I thought Aikman might have been the first one that went to the Cowboys. Then they got Emmitt Smith and Irvin out of those other
Either
picks.
Way, they got...
They fleeced Minnesota.
Yeah, they fleeced Minnesota. Yeah, there's another trade similar to that. All right, hold on, Mike. And I'm going to get your information. You're going to be one of the winners. Let's see if we can squeeze in Jerry from Wilmington. Jerry, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. So talking about Fultz and Simmons, I was seeing Simmons doing a lot of 10-foot jumpers on practice recently. And
10 feet. Betting, wow, 10 feet. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of betting. What do you think will be betting on over under on how many 15 foot or 12 foot or under jump shots Simmons will take during a game?
Won't be a prop bet on that because it's just hard. You know, the people can't be sure. I mean, they do it with numbers and there's whatever. There's companies that do that, but no, they will not have that bet. But I'll tell you right now, I would take for a three, we know what it is, over, under three. Well, no, you can't do it for this short season, but he will not take three-point shots in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't believe we'd pay him. It's a first-rounder, can't do that. But I got a trade for you.
Go ahead.
Speaking of fleece, those Vikings, they get fleeced all the time. How about sending Sam Bradford and to the Vikings for a number one pick and a number three pick. I mean, so that's stiff, Sam Bradford. You got Derek Barnett and somebody else.
Yeah, it's a good trade, but I wouldn't put it at the top. But Sam Bradford actually was recognized when he came out of college as the top quarterback because he had such good accuracy. But it's a good try.
Sam Bradford to the Vikings for a number one pick and a number three pick.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's his radio.
Yeah, that's your radio. All right. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Kyle, all right, so we're going to take Matt, who had the hockey trade, as one of the best trades. Pat, the Moses trade. Mike, the Herschel trade. What did John have?
John
didn't
have. Roman Gabriel one.
Yeah, that's not. It's really not close, John. But we're going to give away more of those hats. So let's take those three guys. You won a Philly spring training hat, courtesy of the Philly's New Era store, which will be open on Monday and open during Monday through Friday from 10 to 6. So we'll have some more stuff too to give away in the upcoming weeks. And before we leave you today, a couple things I want to do. The July 2nd game with Harry Callis. I can't get enough of Harry Callis and Mitchie Poo. We'll leave you with that, and we'll go into Glenn and Ray with that. But I want to thank Kyle Quinn for doing a great job. I want to thank everybody who participated in the show today. Mark Lawrence, we looked at the prop bets, I know it's on the BorgataSports.com. You can get the app and bet the I'm taking the unders on everything except the batting average. You can do that. Everybody have a great and safe weekend. And really start trying to do the things the right way. I mean, that's the only way we're going to get through this until there's a vaccine. So everybody have a great weekend. Glenn and Ray are next. And before we leave you, 4:40 in the morning, here's what happened in 1993 on July 2nd.
Now the stretch. And the pitch.
Swing and a base hit to left center field. Hank Amelia's going to score. This game is over. On an RBI hit by Mitchie Poo. The Bells have won it 6-5 and 10 on the Wild Things RBI hit. Can you believe it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.